Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group, and as I just stated before, the proud host of VFE. And we're back with another episode in our Back to School series, and I had to get this rising, up-and-coming national superintendent. I remember I saw him speak. I heard his district's band. Man, it had me up and out in the seat. Of course. He has a phrase. We're going to get into it in the podcast, but a phrase that has stuck with me. And you know what? It's kind of like my Kobe Mamba mentality phrase. But it is with absolute honor to have Dr. Darrell Henson, the proud superintendent of Marlin ISD in Marlin, Texas. Dr. Henson, it is good to see you. Last time I saw you, man, your kids had out of my own seat dancing.
I will say, Dr. Connor, thank you for having me. I'm glad to say welcome back to another great school year. Anytime we get the chance to be around children, it gets me excited. And of course, down here in Marlin, Texas, we love to bring the hype, not only academically, but in all things children love to do.
Listen, Dr. Henson, I'm going to say this. You are the education version of Prime, of Coach Prime, okay?
I ain't hard to find. I'll take that. I'll take you. Because one thing is, just this past weekend, as Coach Prime kind of did his thing, I got so many texts about, wow, Coach Prime and you were very similar. But I think it just comes down to the whole notion of excellence.
Absolutely.
Expect excellence in others, not just ourselves. Just think about what we can do in the lives of so many young men and young women.
Dr. Henson, well stated. I'm going to call you Dr. Prime. I'm telling you, man, when I was watching the game this weekend, I said, and I heard him in his pregame speech, and then I heard him when he was with the media and in his press conference after the game. I'm like, man, Coach Prime is just like Darrell, man. They are similar, but that's a compliment from me, brother.
Thank you.
To see
Thank you.
Let's get right into the podcast because obviously we know you are the proud, proud superintendent of Marlin ISD down in Texas. Your work, everybody is just naturally just attached to your work. You have leaders across the country in Texas that want to be able to emulate your practices, right? But from an education stakeholder and leader standpoint, who has not engaged with Dr. Darrell Henson from Marlin ISD in Marlin, Texas, right? What song would describe your story in education?
When I think about my journey in education, and it does go back to my elementary days, you have to play. And what means the most, that Sam Cooke, a change is going to come. Mm-hmm. In order to be great educators, it's all about what can we do to prepare children today for tomorrow. But sometimes tomorrow is the unseen. We don't know what it looks like. So how are we changing our practices, our mindset, our love? How do we change our accountability to prepare children for the future that they deserve? It's important that the work we do does not set up our students to become permanent second-class citizens. So a change is always going to come from within and for what we give to others.
Absolutely. Dr. Henson, the change is going to come, but I want to highlight these, I like to say, micro themes that come up to make this meta theme, right? Practices, mindset, love, and accountability.
Yes,
now, Dr. Henson, I want to ask a sub question, right, from your answer. And these are these two themes that you highlighted, love and accountability, right? Reciprocity with one another, working in the synonymous way. You really don't see in education love and accountability in this parallelization. Just unwrap that for us a little bit because it's so compelling, Dr. Henson, where obviously, yes, practices and mindset, but when you get into that love and accountability, you know, yes, when sir. You're holding people accountable, people are underscoring that love aspect or love bringing into accountability. So you're great at this, Dr. Henson. Please just unwrap that for my audience.
So there's a cost of caring. And you have to make sure that you're willing to pay that cost every single day as an educator. To me, there's a huge difference between strong like and love.
Yes.
If I strongly like you, I might let you get away with a few things here or there, whether you are, you know, you're a staff member, a parent, a community member, a student. But if I love you, my love for you says I'm going to hold you accountable while supporting you to achieve whatever it is God has placed in your heart, in your mind. Yeah, I said the Lord, I love Jesus.
Amen.
So I have to really make sure that my love transcends and that my love is going to, like I said, once again, if I hold you accountable at a level 10, I have to support you at a level 11. So love and accountability go together. There's a cost for caring, but more importantly, it's not a fine line. It's a huge gap between a lot of like for students and loving students.
Oh man, cost of caring and for that love. I tell you, Dr. Henson, absolutely. Dr. Henson, and you know, I love the statement, right? Winners have systems. And your intentionality to how you measure outcomes, a variety of different outcomes at Marlin ISD is simply remarkable. And I love the fact how you wear your emotions on your shoulders, because you know why? Now it actually humanizes you, right? And it humanizes you in a major, major way. But Doc, I remember going to TAPSE, right, Doc, and hearing you, and you were presenting to the aspiring superintendents, and you were unwrapping the great outcomes that were occurring or that are occurring in Marlin, specifically literacy growth, numeracy growth, systems that you have already integrated into Marlin School District. But there was one phrase, Dr. Henson, one phrase that caught my attention, and it still sticks with me. That's why I call you the Coach Prime of education. You said, I'm allergic to average, right? And taking a strong stance like that in education, being bold and unapologetic, specifically in the context of leveraging excellence and equity for all, when you stated, I'm allergic to average, that it epitomizes, right? It wraps everything around for achieving higher levels, to going beyond for students. But you know, when you take that phrase, Dr. Henson, other leaders across the country or even Texas might even get some pushback for having such a strong stance to defy mediocrity in education. So when I unwrap that phrase, I'm allergic to average, right? What leadership and system strategies you have that would be underscoring and underpinning for other leaders that really want to take that I'm allergic to average stance and apply that into their practices?
So I have said often that losers have goals and winners have systems. In order to impact true change in the life of any child, you just can't hope their way to success. You have to have a systematic process and plan that will guarantee and ensure that they're going to show the growth that needs to be shown. Now, as a leader, I believe it's important to be as involved as you need to be. We've heard the phrases, lead from the balcony. Don't be a micromanager. Make sure that you do not wear or show your emotions. I say defy it all. Leadership has to be situational. Mm. And based on the situation, that has to be the level of your leadership. At times, it is appropriate to micromanage, aka be overly involved. At times, it is important to step back. But if we want to guarantee success that shows phonemic awareness is going to increase, athletics is going to improve, numerical fluency is going to hit the highest levels, then what systems do we have in place? Here at Marlin ISD, we have what we call a scorecard and dashboard. Mm. And we like to track everything because our students are more than a number point, but we have to know where they're moving. Well, with our scorecard and dashboard, I believe things improve whenever you keep score. Mm. Think about playing outside. You're shooting around, is not as competitive. Let someone say we're going to 10. All of a sudden, your defense might get a little more stout. And I believe that it's not about keeping score, but if you keep score publicly. Mm-hmm. So now board meetings, we're reporting periodically. Where are students in terms of college and career readiness? How are they doing on algebra proficiency? It's the level of accountability for all. And guess what? Now the data is more green than red. And so our children are being celebrated because we put in place systems that guarantee and ensure their success. We will not be average at Marlin ISD. Mediocre habits have to go, from lesson planning to the wax on the floor. Everything that we do has to be done with a level of excellence. Yeah. The hardest thing to be in life is consistent, and in Marlin ISD, we are consistent and committed to excellence.
One thing, Dr. Henson, I can tell you this, right? You're using vernacular, I like to say business science vernacular, in the context of scorecards, dashboards. Knowing you personally, knowing your work, you have leading and lagging indicators that you're analyzing.
No.
The breath. I know you, Doc. Come on, Coach.
We got leading and lagging measures. Yes.
Doc, I know you, because here's the thing, right? The way you have you systematize systems in the context of how you're measuring everything. To my audience, Dr. Henson measures everything. He has a true, strong instructional background, knows the systems from the micro level of implementation, the granularity levels of implementation, all the way up to looking at it from a macro level of how these systems are integrated and aligned together. But when you hear Dr. Henson talk about scorecards, dashboards, I'm like, okay, are you going to bring out theory of action or value proposition? Are we talking education science or business science? But Doc, anybody that says they're allergic to average, they can back it up with the effectiveness and the efficacy of their systems and how they're implementing these new structures for change. I tell you, Dr. Prime, I love it.
I mean, and I think, and that's what it is. It's all about a level of excellence.
Absolutely.
We're okay with making national news when it comes to saying we're going to delay graduation, but not deny it. Every student is going to meet all requirements outlined by the state of Texas. And so you can talk, moan, and complain, but at the end of the day, we're going to be in compliance, and we're going to make sure that your diploma is worth more than the paper is printed on. Students have worked hard for 13 years in school, so we're going to ensure that everyone gets across the finish line, not only with accountability, but also with our support.
Absolutely. And Dr. Henson, it goes back to your first statement with the question, love and accountability, right? And that displays it. I want to move on to the next question, because I want people to see your level of expertise around instruction, right? And we both believe that literacy is a civil right for all. And I think that is imperative, you know, with regards to literacy development and how we're developing skills so that we can create a literate environment, society. But the impact of COVID-19 has exacerbated these literacy levels, coupled with what we're seeing now are these, I like to say, compounding variables, whether it be from chronic absenteeism, whether it is national teacher shortages. You know, we're seeing it, retention with teachers, this conglomerate of quandaries we're seeing in the AC stage of education. But based on your perspective with regards to leadership, how do we systematically address these draconian variables to ensure we are still preparing our students for a Delta 2030 future, despite the current plight that we're seeing in the education ecosystem?
So we understand that if one thing done correctly in elementary school that makes every student's life easier, that's literacy. The ability to read, to comprehend, and to truly have an understanding and thoughts and ideas about the words and language that we're around all day, every day. But we also believe in the power of great educators. The single most important important individual in any school system is going to be a classroom teacher. Mm-hmm. So now we have two major boulders. We have the boulder of academic gaps. And of course, all the phrases people want to talk about as it relates to COVID-19 is not really a gap. It's unlearned knowledge. But here we truly have academic unlearning. Then we have a national teacher shortage. So I think to address it, we have to get back to a place here in America where this profession is fully respected. I've said before in a previous interview, if we put a sign outside that says we're paying teachers $150,000, we will not have a teacher shortage at all here in America. Mm-hmm. But with teachers, if they believe in the mission of public education, we have to, one, train them and train them well. Mm-hmm. So we say that we have a focus here in literacy, then let's train them in literacy. And we're going to ask the on our strategic plan and guiding statement number one is early childhood literacy. But after you train them well, the next thing is they have to feel like they're on a journey with the peer. How do you create a culture of it's we before me? We are in this together. We have to achieve and tackle and conquer everything that faces our children or our campus every single day, but I'm not doing it alone. That has to be deliberately created amongst the faculty and staff. But the last part of that triangle is you have to develop to where teachers know that they're making a difference. Well, we train them well, they're on a journey with the peer, and they have to know that they're making a difference. And we do that here in Merlin through pre and post test. Let's get these mini pre-assessments. It could be anywhere from 2 to 4 to 5 questions. And at that point in time, we see where our students are. Mm-hmm. After some phenomenal instruction delivered by our teachers, when it's time for their post test, we have seen the needle move. So now as a classroom educator, I have that motivation. I have that light. I know I'm not average. My children aren't average. And I'm excited and I'm motivated. We have to keep our faculty and staff just as motivated as our children, because literacy is a civil right. It's not all about decoding, but it's also about comprehension of the language. We all know every kid can decode the word empire, E-M-P-I-R-E, empire is decoded. But do they have the language acquisition to know what an empire is besides a show on Fox with Cookie?
Right.
We have to make sure that not only can they decode, they're able to acquire the language. And these are skill sets that we have to be deliberate on in every school system across America.
Unbelievable, Dr. Henson, because you just showed on this 3-tier level of your core knowledge and your expertise, not only just one around literacy, but also two, really showing empathy for our classroom practitioners and teachers, but also a third lever, or I should say tier that you outlined, is again, going back to your expertise of understanding systems in using a variety of different measures to show progress with regards to the our most important customers, families and students. But what I really like about it, teachers knowing that they are making a difference and implementing dipstick assessments in the interim to say, hey, wow, this is great. Our kids are moving. Our the specific historically excluded subgroup is moving, right?
Yes.
And having that level of communication and using data to inform teacher practices and really showing how you can create a culture around this journey together. Yes, Dr. Henson. Man, that look, I'll tell you, yeah, I know I had to break it down in this technical aspect of it, but listen, brother, you got me motivated because not many people really, and it shows your internal thinking, how you're leveraging professional learning in accordance to your strategic operating plan. And you're getting into the explicit and implicit notions of how you're measuring strategies with your lead and lagging indicators. But the dipstick implementation is keeping teachers and leaders abreast of progress within the organization. Doc, I love it, Doc, man. I love it, Doc. Better than your suits, brother. And trust me, you got some comp up in the Northeast. I love that what you got on.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it, Dr. Khan. I do appreciate it. Thing, I mean, you're right on. Gone are the days of random acts of improvement.
Right.
Everything has to be deliberate and explicit. From our instruction, I say even to the cologne we put on in the morning, everything has to make sure that it's welcoming and inviting for students, because we all have our high school diplomas. Our job is to prepare every children in our school system with a better experience than what we had. And that's never done just by hoping and praying. It's done by being deliberate in our approach.
Dr. Ensign, amazing. Random acts of improvement are going. And I think that, you know, how you are successfully integrating these data analytic tactics and coupling that with analyzing your system from this business science lens, brother, I appreciate you. We need more of you in America. But I want to talk about leadership, right? Specifically around leadership and leadership in the AC stage of education. We know that an AC stage of education needs radical change from the standard approach of what I call the BC stage of education before COVID-19. Now, as you reflect on your leadership signature, I want you to do that just for this episode and this question. How has leadership changed? And what are some of those strategic approaches of leadership that can be adopted with now this new evolution of integrating and implementing emergent technologies, right? New methods of instruction that are being interfaced with AI. How are we going to do that as a strategic leadership approach? Because your systems lens, especially grounded and rooted in this level set context with your strategic operating plan, right? How are you able to do that? And what can we do with regards to emerging technologies?
Well, I'll say this goes back to my song. A change is going to come. Mm-hmm. We have to be willing to change with where we're going. And so as it relates to AI and other various technologies, how do we not look at them as a negative, but teach and include appropriate ways to use them, but let's do it sooner rather than later? Whenever cell phones started to become popular and then all of a sudden every third grader had a cell phone, it was, oh no, ban cell phones, block cell phones. But now there's actual lessons designed to utilize this technology in the classroom, whether it's one-to-one or quicker and more efficient ways to utilize your thinking skills.
Yeah.
So we have to be open. But let's talk about leadership. I believe that leaders have become less bold. They become less courageous because they're so scared about losing their job and or any social media or actual media outcry. Where's the courage? Because last time I checked, we'll all be quoting Joshua, strong and courageous. We'll be quoting Romans, all things work together. But when it comes time for you to put yourself on the line for children, where is the I fear no evil?
Right.
Where is that I'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Last time I checked, you stayed outside the valley. So I want for leaders to become more bold because we serve children. Leadership is situational. Yeah. And I understand everything as it relates to AI. But I think it's going to take a bold leader to understand that this is where we're headed in education and in the world. Mm. So how do we teach what we perceive to be appropriate ways in 2023? How do we teach this new technology so once again, we're not getting behind? How do we embrace to magnify? How do we embrace to excel? And it's on the role, I think, of the education system to understand what is coming down the line, and let's prepare for it and let's take it on because a change is coming. But leaders have to be willing to fall on the sword for the children that they serve. If you put my name in Google right now, you'll see some good things, you'll see some bad things. Now, to me, it don't matter at all because I know that I can lay my head on the pillow at night and say this. The children that we served every day in Marlin ISD, they got better today. Tomorrow night, I can lay my head down because they got better tomorrow. So it has to take a level of bold, courageous, unapologetic leadership, and we expect and we demand excellence from everybody.
And Dr. Henson, that's why I love you, brother, because you lay it on the line for kids, right? You lay it on the line for families. And without hesitation, you will make a bold and unapologetic decision, because within your practice, and anybody to my audience that know Dr. Henson, families and kids are first. Families and kids. And if you want to see a leader that will be courageous, will say the things that need to be said for our families and students, it is Dr. Henson. And Dr. Henson, what I love about your answer, and I think that, you know, it is true, is that now this next level of emerging technologies, AI, even to the degree of AGI, artificial generative intelligence and automation, is inevitable when this is going to come in education. And this is why I've been kind of bringing it up consistently, so that my audience know that this time frame of implementation, or this pathology of implementing new and emerging technologies and AI solutions, is going to be a part of the education model. It is going to be embedded and ingrained in the education model soon, but it is going to have to take bold leadership to make these shifts. It's going to have to take courageous leadership. And thank you for being that courageous, bold, unapologetic, and let's not forget, attentional leader, Dr. Henson.
I want to
go to this question, because again, I don't think my audience realize how you lay it on the line for families and students. I know everybody in Texas knows, but I want the world to know domestically and internationally how you lay it on for kids, because you are basically the mouthpiece for our families and our students. You are the primary advocate for transformation. So we've seen this outcry nationally with Generation Z and Generation Alpha to have their voice, to be a part of the design process, this new business model that we need to underscore in the AC stage of education. In your lens, with your strategies and methods, how do we continue to elevate voice and agency within our learning organizations to scale innovation, agency, and excellence that undergirds the voices of Generation Z and Generation Alpha?
Every interview in education, every mission and vision statement. Yeah. Abby, go ahead and cut this part. Here we go. Every interview in education, every mission and vision statement will mention students first. Mm-hmm. But are we really listening to students to put them first?
Right.
We might be more wise as the adults, but I would hope that there are some things that a 16-year-old or a 12-year-old knows that I do not know, because they're living the life. What do we know about being 15 in 2023? Nothing at all.
Right.
So we have to make sure that, once again, we're sitting them down and we're saying, tell us about what is it that you're seeing? What do you want to learn? What are you hearing about down the street, down the road, across the country? Then how can we develop ways to educate you within the confines and safety of a school system for that? I believe that a lot of educators, let's call it what it is, and sometimes parents, are jealous of the experience that their children are getting. They don't need AI. I didn't have to use AI. But I think to myself, you probably drove today. You didn't ride a horse to work.
Right.
So as things improve, as things get better, we have to make sure that we're not allowing, I want my kid to struggle like I struggled. I want my student to have to use, like, no. If there's more efficient ways to get their brains to stretch and grow in today's day and age, we have to be willing. I think we have an obligation to ensure that they get that knowledge. But let's be open to what it is they're saying. We cannot be arrogant enough to think that we know everything. Yes, we have the degrees and the diplomas and we have the life experience, but it goes back to what I said. What do we know about being 7 years old in 2023? Absolutely nothing. So it's important to make sure that they are partners somewhat in the scope of their educational journey. Because if the journey's going to be shared, it's not just my way or the highway. It is our way to prepare you for the highways of the future.
Absolutely.
No parent rode a horse today, but you're mad because your child wants to use AI to do a paragraph. Make it.
Oh, Doc, I'll tell you, right? I get, you know what, you're making that statement, Doc. I can hear my mother now. If I was back in elementary school or middle school trying to use ChatGPT, I can picture what my mother would say right now to me. Oh, Lord, but you are absolutely right. And I think that, Dr. Henson, one thing that we have to recognize, right? And I think that now, universally, we're recognizing this in education, is that including us, even with our age, is that we can't educate our kids the same way that we were educated.
Amen.
And that is so true, because there are differential attributes and characteristics even within Generation Z and Generation Alpha. You make that statement around, you know, really understanding the needs for Generation Alpha, 7-year-old, right? My son is 8. And for me to even think of how to provide him with the same pedagogical methods of how I learned within my specific modalities, and looking at it from the knowledge taxonomy standpoint, I would be foolish, right? I would be foolish to say, hey, I want Mikey educated in this manner because I was successful with that. No, 2023, emerging technologies, AI is booming, even specific to the context of the societal realms are changing as well. So you're absolutely right with that, Dr. Henson. I wish I had you on for another 2 hours, but this is the last question because I love you to death. Now, take this question as it is, right? Because I always ask, try to limit participants to 3 words, but it become 3 times 1,000 words. It become three, we some rule followers that I didn't think would be rule followers. They stuck with the 3 words. I always say this, Doc, take it as it is, all right? But what 3 words do you want today's audience to leave our episode with regarding achieving all in the AC stage of education?
Number one, I think I will have to say, is winning. We don't do things to come in second.
Mm-hmm.
And in education, winning every single day means that each student did their best.
Mm-hmm.
Their own individualized educational day. So we have to win the day. I would say number two comes down to love.
Mm-hmm.
And though sometimes people think that the word love is subjective, I think love can be objective. When you love something, you give it your all. Mm-hmm. You're invested emotionally. When it feels good. When it's bad, it's bad. Love makes you smile. Love makes you cry. And there's a level of emotion that I believe that we're getting away from in education that needs to come back. There has to be a love of school for our students. There needs to be a love for school community from our parents and adults. And there has to be a love for children from our educators who touch our children daily. But probably the most important word is confidence. Coach Prime said, "Do not let my confidence offend you." And I want for every educator to have a level of confidence about them, like, I am making a difference. I'm going to make a difference. The difference is being made in this classroom, because that child is getting better in some realm, socially, academically, emotionally, behaviorally. I have enough confidence in me that if you're in front of me as a student, as a teacher, as a parent, what are we doing to improve your life? And I need for that confidence to begin to come out. Speak about what you're doing for children. Speak about how you love them. Speak about how you're winning, how you dress, how you walk, how you're around them. Don't worry about the outside noise. Mm-hmm. Let your confidence guide you and lead you
to what's taking place inside of your school. And if you're taking care of home, of your classroom, of your campus, of your district, all we're doing is setting ourselves up to have a better and greater society. So let's be bold. Let's be courageous. Let's be everything that we claim to be in the interview and have confidence in it. Those are my three words.
Dr. Henson, I'll tell you this. I'm ready to run through a wall for you. I'm ready to become your assistant superintendent for free, bro.
Well, we actually pray pretty well down here in Marlin, so come on down.
You know, I tell you, who wouldn't want to work for you, Doc? Who wouldn't want to work for you? Winning, love, and confidence. But what got me going, right? You just started the internal fire of, man, you know, give me 10 kids. I'm ready to take two groups for small group guided reading hours for that, because I am making a difference and I am going to make a difference. And you're doing that with love and the mindset of winning, ensuring each student did their best. What learning organization would not want to underpin those three critical tenets of winning, love, and confidence, right? And then now on the back end, that design around your SOP, where you're measuring everything, how can you not adopt a winning mentality that underscores love and confidence? Dr. Henson, come on, man. When we putting on the pad, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Let's go.
And let me tell you, to my audience, you have to listen. You have to hear Marlin ISD band. Was that your middle school or was that your high school band that I saw?
Middle school.
I don't even want... If the middle school is doing that, and I'm telling you to my audience, it had everybody out of their seat. Everybody, you thought you were at a Prairie View game, man, listening to halftime. Wow, man. I thought I was at homecoming.
Yes. I mean, the children that we have here in Marlin are so talented, and all we have to do is just cultivate what is inside of them naturally.
Absolutely.
We love our jobs. We love our careers. We love our life down here in Marlin 6.
Absolutely. And Doc, I could tell you this, a lot of my audience members, a lot of my subscribers to this podcast, they actually reach out, you know, for strategies with you, strategies, motivation. How would I be able to get in touch with you with regards to what could be some strategies and methods around leadership that I can employ?
Yes, yeah, so I said definitely. Please always reach out to me on Twitter at Dr. Henson 2 at DRHENSON 2, and I look forward to just being a level of support and resource to anyone. We are truly all in this together, because I copy and steal a lot from my mentors. And it's important that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we have enough in our toolbox to go back and lead situationally in our school communities.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you this, Dr. Henson, I'm going to make sure when I come back down to Texas, I am going to a Friday night Marlin football game. Yes, I want to see the game. I do, but I'm waiting for my halftime show.
Yeah, I mean, and you know how we do it down here in Texas.
Oh, yes, I do, man. Dr. Henson, thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you. I'm your biggest fan up in the Northeast. You know that. You got a brother and a friend in me forever. So, absolutely. To my audience, on that note, onward and upward, everybody. Have a good evening.